welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. All of the efforts put forth by a faithful local congregation of Christ's people are based on the Bible. The teaching, the benevolent work, the everyday life of those who make up the membership of the church, the worship, everything is governed by the foundation upon which we stand, the revelation of God in the Bible. The Bible is upheld above every book and relied upon because we believe it is the Word of God as it claims for itself. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or whole and complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Dear listening friend, evil men would not and could not have written the Bible. It condemns so much of which they are guilty, they would not have written it and condemned themselves. Nor would uninspired good moral men have written it. Moral men would not lie, claiming their work was God's word when they knew it was not. And even though the Bible was written by the pen of men, they were men that were chosen and guided and directed by deity. God chose from their individual vocabularies the very words of the Bible to convey His will and His mind to the mind of mankind. And because of this, they had supernatural knowledge of things no man could possibly have known or revealed from his own findings and discoveries and experiences. But, as Peter wrote, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Yes, the Scriptures are inspired of God. Therefore, the Bible is the standard by which we ought to live, because it is the standard by which we all shall be judged. But why did God give mankind the Bible? Let me suggest some general answers to this question, and then turn our attention to some things more specific as it concerns our relationship with God. Mankind cannot and could not get along without the Bible. God made man. He knows man. He's aware of man. He knows his needs, his weaknesses, and his strengths. Without the message from our Creator, we could never expect to be complete. We need to know about ourselves. We learn from the Bible that we're not only body, but also spirit. We are living souls. We are creatures that have the power of choice, the power of volition. We can determine many things concerning ourselves. There's more to us than just the physical. We have mind. We are spirit. And we need to know about our Creator. The Bible reveals to us the nature of deity. Jesus Christ on earth revealed God unto man in a measure never known prior to His coming. We must know His standards and what He expects us by which to live. John 12 and verse 48 tells us the Word of God is that standard by which we shall be judged. And we need to understand the central personality of all the entire system of salvation is Jesus Christ. And all of this is in the Bible. Now we need to consider four very simple, yet profound reasons why God gave us the Bible. And all four of these reasons have to do with our relationship to God. Friend, God gave us the Bible so that we can know that we're lost in sin when separated from Him. Without the divine revelation, how could we know of our spiritual condition? Isaiah wrote, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Some may ask, why is it so bad to go your own way? Well, the answer is simply expressed in Jeremiah 10 verse 23. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Now, whether people are willing to admit it or not, man left to himself always degrades himself. He does not have the capacity, standing alone, to lift himself. Not only does the Bible teach this, giving examples of this, but the history of man proves this. Man is guilty of sin, Romans 3:23, which is a violation of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Because of sin, man is spiritually lost. He's separated from his Creator, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. He must be brought to a keen awareness of this reality. And this very fact is a powerful motivating factor and incentive for man to return to God. The Bible tells us what it means to be lost and what awaits those who live this life and leave it still lost. We all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23. From what other source can mankind learn of his spiritual condition? And again, God gave man the Bible to inform man that God does not want any of his creatures to be lost. God created man with the power of choice. But God wants man to choose the right way. Peter stressed that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3 and verse 16. If any man is lost, it will not be because God wants him to be lost. Anyone who is lost and remains lost does so because they have chosen that path in spite of what God wants for him. Nothing proves that God wants man to be saved more than the invitation extended to man to come unto me and be forgiven and to be saved from sin. It is from the Bible that we learn of this compassion and of this grace and this mercy and this love that God has for sinful man. Where could we learn such majestic truth as this, except from God's own revelation of his own mind? And once again, God gave us the Bible to teach us what he has done in order that we might be saved. Step by step, the Scriptures unfold the great design of God in order to save man. From the time of the curse against the serpent, Genesis 3:15, and the call of Abraham and the many promises that God gave to and through him, including the one that teaches, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed," Genesis 12 and verse 3. God told Abraham that his seed would come one who would fulfill that promise, Genesis 22:16. And Paul makes it clear that this seed had reference to Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 16. As we read the Bible, we understand that the remainder of it, from the time God's promises to Abraham were given, it is actually a divinely given record of how God has kept his promises to Abraham. There came the nation of Israel, and the law given to that nation through Moses on Mount Sinai. We read the prophetic messages of the prophets as they foretold the coming of the Messiah and his kingdom. And eventually we reach the time of the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, and his preparatory work before him. And finally, the Savior comes on the scene. He lives a perfect life. He performs the confirming miracles, only to be betrayed and crucified and buried. But on the third day he was raised from the dead as victor over death, hell, and the grave. And now, through him, mankind could be offered eternal life and forgiveness of sins. The Lord established his church on the first Pentecost after the resurrection, and through inspired men the terms of salvation were announced. From that time forward, those who hear the word, believe the word, obey the word, have been added to the church as saved people. It is not too much to reduce the plan of salvation to simply saying, the way to heaven is Christ and his church. God provided the Redeemer and his blood by which we are washed clean from sin. From where could man ever know all that God has done to demonstrate his love and grace through his Son, except there be God's revelation concerning it? This is one of the reasons why we have the Bible, and we can know of the mighty works of God that extend to us, even the glories of heaven, and the way of escape from the eternal fires of hell. But another reason God has given us the Bible is to inform man of man's part in God's plan to save man. From the Scriptures we learn what God has done, and from the Scriptures we learn our duty. We not only can know that we're lost, and that God wants us to be saved, and what God has done for us to save us, but we also learn what we must do to be saved. It is recorded for us in the Bible, the sacred and inspired writing from God. Man cannot be saved apart from obeying Christ, And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation to them that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. There is something that man must do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The familiar Matthew 7 and verse 21. Now only God can prescribe the terms of pardon. Man must be saved on God's terms, or he will not be saved. God has provided the way, but man must go that way. Now this is not difficult to comprehend, but it is a matter of eternal life or death, separation from God, or union with God eternally. That's what we're considering. To reject his terms means to be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Surely nobody should want this for an eternity for anybody. To be saved, we must believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And coupled with that faith must be our obedient response to the divine commands. To repent, Luke 13, 3. To confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2, 38. Mark 16, 16. Galatians 3, 27. And once again we ask, how could any of us know what God wants us to do except that he has given us his mind in the Bible? There is no other source of information other than his word. But let us be sobered by the fact that we must either abide by what the Lord has decreed, or there is no word of comfort or hope for us anywhere in his word. Rather, there is the warning of the wrath and the justice of God against the evildoer and those who obey not the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. And from the Bible, we learn how to live after coming to Christ. We learn how to treat other people. We learn the truth about the institution of marriage and the home. Everything that has any real substance and importance in living acceptably before God is revealed to us in the Bible. It is all governed and determined by the message from God. His inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, all-sufficient word, the Scriptures, the Bible, will furnish us all we need to live properly and to be able to stand prepared in the judgment. Let me give one final and very serious word of caution. Seeing how God has given us his word, and that which revealed therein to us to obey, to turn him away, to disobey him, why, it's tantamount to telling God that he wasted his time as far as we're concerned. To turn away in disobedience, we're telling him that he never should have even bothered. We're saying that his revelation is useless and meaningless. It's unimportant to us. And we must wonder if that is the way we really want things to be when we stand before God in judgment to receive our eternal sentence of reward or punishment. On the other hand, to obey is to proclaim to God our thanksgiving for his merciful kindness and blessings. It is to declare his will as the vital and essential declaration to man that is truly true. It is to say that it is our intention and purpose to walk according to his way so long as life remains in this body. Then we can depart from the next world as one redeemed by the Son of God, and we can know the joy of heaven eternally. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd, and until next time.